Okay, everybody, it makes me very happy to have this opportunity to introduce today's daf, which is daf mem beis. We're holding right at the bottom of daf mem aleph amud beis, Rabbi Yossi Eimer. So in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi said that the fact is that if somebody walked out carrying his lulav on Shabbat and actually did carry it, he wouldn't be chayav achatas anyway, because he was a teyeh bedvar mitzvah. Om Rabbaye, when does Rabbi Yossi say this? This is only if he hadn't yet been yotzi the mitzvah. Shelo yatzabo. Avo yatzabo chayav. Had he already been yotzi the mitzvah, so then there was no pressure on doing the mitzvah. And a toyeh bedvar mitzvah is only where there is a sense of actual confusion because of the profound commitment and zrizus that people have to mitzvahs. So because of that, he was toyeh. But here he was already yotzi. Ask the Gemara, what is that supposed to mean? The minute that he picks up his lulav in the morning, I mean, he already picked it up before he walked out of that door with it and before he was metaltel into Rosh HaSarabim, or before he was if he had come from a Carmelite. So what exactly are you talking about? So where would be the case? The guy picks up his lulav, walks out the door, and he's already was yotzi before he walked out the door. Answers the Gemara, Nom Rabbi, it's got to be talking about Kishay Vcho. He picked it up upside down, which is why we are careful indeed to take the Esrog at least upside down. That way you weren't Yotze the mitzvah of the Arba meaning, because otherwise you would be Yotze before you even made the Bracha. So because of that, we're careful. Now, as Tosis pointed out earlier, the truth is that, first of all, Tosis points out here that the Mashmaut here is that even though he wasn't mechaven to be yotzi the mitzvah at that point, he would still be yotzi the mitzvah, which is mashma mitzvot ein tzrichot kavana. Now there's a Yaakov, if you don't mind, sweetheart, to mute. So if mitzvot, if you're going to be yotzi without having kavana to be yotzi, when you just picked it up and you weren't yet ready to make the bracha, you didn't want to be yotzi at that point, so you didn't have kavana to be yotzi. Apparently from here you see that you do not need kavana in order to be yotze mitzvahs, which is strange because Abaye himself, who answers over here kishahavcho, actually his opinion elsewhere was that mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, in which case it wasn't much of a problem. But so he says, okay, maybe Abaye came around to holding like Rava in this issue. But before Tosfos points out that even according to the Ban Yomar, who says that mitzvahs ena tzrichos kavana, if you have specific kavana not to be yotze, they can't force you. They can't force you to be yotze a mitzvah. So everybody is made that you're not yotze if your kavana is specifically not to be yotze. And therefore, why couldn't we just answer that? That it's talking about that he had in kavana, but Dafke said, listen, I don't want to be yotze a mitzvah yet. I don't want to wait until I get to the point where I'm able to make a bracha before the mitzvah like I'm supposed to. So Tosfos says that since the entire issue of a year of walking outside on Shabbos with the lulav, as we'll see, is because we're talking about someone who needs instructions about how to do it. He's going to somebody to teach him. So in that case, it's obvious that the guy is not a big bucky in what the halacha is, and therefore we're talking in general. So that he's when it's not reasonable to say that the case is that he had in kavana specifically not to be yotzibit, and therefore we don't make that standard behavior. But enoch inami, someone who knows the halacha and understands that if he has kavana not to be yotzibit, he's not going to be yotzibit. He doesn't really have to be ma'apich, as it says over here. Rava Amar, you don't have to say necessarily that he turned it upside down. What you could say was, it's talking about that he took out his lulav in something else. What do you mean, in something else? Rava was the one who said before, oh man, lekicha yedei davar acher is considered to be lekicha, remember? And he argued in the problem about these chatzitzes. I mean, what's the problem? If you're taking it out with something else, that you had a handkerchief around your hand, that would also be called a lekicha. So why over here would it not be called a lekicha? Yes, but hanimi liderech kavod. That's talking about where you're doing something that shows a sense of kavod, but over here we're talking about you took it out in a flower pot, you know, because you had it in the water, and so that's not kavod for the lulav. So Derev Bizayon, even Rava would agree that you wouldn't be yotze. Anyway, it turns out that according to Rabbi Yossi, that there would be specific cases where we would say if he carried his lulav outside, he wouldn't have to bring a korban chatas. Now, of course, this idea of Torah b'dvar mitzvah that he's potter is not only from a korban chatas, would be from other korbanos also. Rav Huna wants to bring us an example of what Rav Yossi would hold legabi a korban me'ila. And of course, the Gemara is going to answer. I mean, what fundamental difference is there? Either a Torah b'dvar mitzvah is chayav or he's potter. That we'll see in a moment. But Rav Huna points out as follows. There's a little bit of background that's necessary over here, and that is that even though normally the korban chatas ha'of and the korban olas ha'of were done on different sides of the mizbeach, because remember, the besides being done above or below, remember olat of, the olat of is up. So you always do the ola on the top of the mizbeach if it's an of, but a chatas ha'of would be on the bottom. Remember, I keep telling you over this synod that it's very easy from that alone to remember the olas of means ola of a bird goes up, it flies up. Well, from that you know every other carbon where it has to be brought, because it's telling you that the equivalent of the chatas behema would be that it's the opposite by the behema. So the chatas of goes down, the olas of goes up, the chatas of behema goes up, and the olas a behema goes down. And this way you're able to remember where to put it on Mizbeach. Anyway, so the point is that normally, if you turn to your left at the top, as you're coming to the Mizbeach, on the bottom, so that would be the south. Remember, the Mizbeach is facing you, and you're looking at the southern part of the Mizbeach. And if you turn left, you're going closer to the Heichal, and that is the western side. So you would be on the southwest side. That was the place for the chatas. The olas ha'of was done on top, but you did not walk around to get to that place, even though it was closer to the heichal, because of the problem of strangulation of the smoke from Mizbeach. And so you immediately turn to the right when you go up to the top of the Mizbeach, and that's where you do the malika of the oil. But if there was an occasion, which could happen often, that there were a lot of ofos that were being brought, of course, because every yoledes and every zav and some would bring these korbanos. So if there were a lot of kohanim and there wasn't room, there was a big backup and a line, so then you would do the olas of also on the top of the mizbeach, but on the moving to your left directly. Okay, so then if that happened, as soon as you did the malika, you would be getting a lot of fluttering, right? Like you do, I'm sure you've seen Shkita Sa'of, like we talked about good old Mike that lived for a long time without a head. So if you do the malika, there's a bit of fluttering around after the malika. You don't want to put the bird on to the Mizbeach while it's fluttering around. So you would set the Erla down. Now, if you set the Erla down, the problem is that it's going to be mixed with chata'ot. A kohen comes along, he sees the pile of birds there, is not medaktik as to which one was an oil, which one. This is normally the place where there's chata'ot ha'ov. And he, as a kohen, has a mitzvah to eat the chata'ot ha'ov. So he goes and he grabs a bird, not realizing that he's taken an oila, and he eats the oila instead of the chatas. Now, he ought to be chayav a korban me'ila, because the oila is meant to be put on the mizbeach, and he was nene from kachim in doing it the other way. And the halacha, tainas Rav Huna, is that if this thing happened, he would be potter from that korban. So, omer haya Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi, an ola ta'of, which was found, ben agapayim, rashlan's ben agapayim, between the wings, so to speak, in other words, between other birds. Others learn ben agapayim means between the edges of the mizbeach and the hecha, which is normally the place of the chatas. But basically, it's the same idea. And he goes ahead va'achla kasovur chatat ta'ofi va'achla patur. Okay, obviously, ma'ika mashmon dor b'dvar mitzvah patur hanach. What exactly are you adding? What's the difference between this case and the case of lulav? There's certainly no difference between the p'tur of bringing the korban chatas to the p'tur of bringing the korban me'ila. So what in the world does Rav Huna need to tell us this for? Oh, what are you talking about? There's a major difference. Ma'od etema, ha'tamu d'to b'dvar mitzvah p'tur, ha'inu d'yavad mitzvah. In that case where Rabbi Yossi spoke to us and told us what the din is over here, like lulav. That's because in the end, by carrying out that lulav, he did a mitzvah. But over here, by eating the oila, he didn't do any mitzvah at all. You don't think that there's, we have the whole sugya and psachim, it's a big machlokas between the tar bidvar mitzvah, the asa mitzvah, tar bidvar mitzvah, the lo asa mitzvah. Not everybody holds tar bidvar mitzvah, the lo asa mitzvah is going to be chayiv. Therefore, I'm telling you that you might have thought that achad tar bidvar mitzvah, the lo avad mitzvah, ema lo, that Rabbi Yossi would hold that you would be chayiv on your carbon mi'ilah. Kamashman comes along, Ravuna, to tell me that actually Rabbi Yossi is pottering you from a carbon, even in the case where you weren't Mekayim a mitzvah in the end. Kamashmala. As the Gemara, the problem is that that's not true. Meitvei. Rabbi Yossi Omer, here's Rabbi Yossi himself giving you an example of a case where you were Torah bidvar mitzvah and you did not do a mitzvah, and he apparently holds it your chayiv. What was the case? Hashocheta tatamit she'enu mevukar ke'ilchato. We learn out from the Karban Pesach that the Karban Tamid requires 4 days of Bikur. You have to check it over from Mumi. And there was a special Lishkas Atloyim where we kept the things that were Mavukari. So this Kohen goes and he takes a Keves that is not Mavukar and he goes and he shechts it as the Karban Tamid, which is not kosher for. We're going to have to bring another Karban Tamid. And he does this on Shabbos, to be Yotzei Karban Tamid on Shabbos. So, L'chora, Rabbi Yossi ought to say, according to what Ravuna said, that he's Pater. And here it says he's Chayav HaChatas, V'tzorech Tamid Acher. So how does Ravuna explain that? Why is he Chayav HaChatas? Because he didn't do a mitzvah? Who cares if he did the mitzvah or didn't do the mitzvah? I thought Ravuna said, Rabbi Yossi holds you don't need to do the mitzvah to be Pater. Omar Leis, Ravuna said, forget about that case, man. Barmine de'ahi, de'itmar Allah, Omer of Shmuel, Bar Chatoi, Omer of Amnina Saba, Omer of Yitzhak Bar Shia, Omer of Huna, Omer Rav, Kegon Jeviyo Milishka She'inan Mevukari. This Kohen was simply negligent. If he had taken the wrong one out of the correct place, nu, Memela. But this Kohen was not torud to take out of this group of Kvasim to go ahead and to bring the Tamid, because none of them were roy for Tamid. He took it out of the wrong place. It wasn't in the Lishkas HaTlayim. So you'll say, okay, but I mean, he still felt the pressure to take care of the Karban Tamid. This you call pressure? The guy is so stupid, lazy, and negligent that he doesn't bother looking at where he's from. That's not called pressure. So because of that, he's not even considered to be a Torah Bidvar Mitzvah at all, says Rabbi Yossi. It's not because he was not Mekayim the Mitzvah that in this case he's Potter. I hope that our Sir Richard is getting ready because his screen is very suspiciously blank.
Are we ready?
Yes, we have been ready. Very good. Don't you think that at least you should put up a sign of Richie's Pizza on your Zoom? So at least we'll know
that
we're dealing with a celebrity. Maybe I should get you a picture and send it to you so you could attach it. All right. So the Mishnah continues. Mikabelet isha miyad bina umiyad ba'ala umachzirato lamayim b'shabbat. So there's a couple of chidushim over here. Chidush number one is, as we'll see, that even though the woman is not mechuyevet in the mitzvah, nonetheless, it's not considered to be mukta for her, and she can take it and put it into the mayim, she can put it back, next chiddush, she can even put it back into the water on Shabbos. You might have thought that that would be, I mean, to water your lulav on Shabbos, even putting it back in the same water where it was, this is also mutter for her. Now, the question is a lot, this is a major, major sugya. Why? Because as you know, there's a big machlokas between the Sfaradim and the Ashkenazim about whether a woman who would take the lulav and esrog to be yotzei, which is not chat mechuyevet, does she make a bracha? So the question over here is, the Gemara seems to be a little bit ridiculous, the Mishnah. I mean, if she wanted to be yotzei the mitzvah, So she has a mitzvah to be yotzei the mitzvah. Voluntarily, she would be yotzei the mitzvah. And she would even make a bracha. So what, we need a mishnah to tell me that she's allowed to take it and to hold it? For her, it's also a mitzvah. It's just not a mitzvah chiyuvit, but it's a mitzvah that you could be yotzei. And so, because of this, many bring a raya that you see from here that it's not considered to be a kiyum mitzvah if she goes ahead and is mekayim the mitzvah voluntarily. She's not mechuyim. Maybe we need the chiddush that it shouldn't be considered to be an actual piece of mukta, because for her, what's she going to do with the lulav? Otherwise, it's a little ridiculous. What do you mean, what's she going to do with the lulav? You know? So because of this, the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins that a woman does not make a bracha when she does that. And therefore, the minhag was among the Sfardim, very, very makbid on that. It's the Rabbeinu Hananel who learns that actually the woman can be yotzei the mitzvah, and that the meaning here is only, as we'll talk about, we'll wait to the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to ask what's the chiddush. So we'll see in a moment. But that over here, the main chiddush is that you're allowed to put it back into the water. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda says like this, on Shabbos, you can put it back. That's like you say. But that's very misleading, because if it's on Yom Tov, you can even add water. You shouldn't think that it's the same on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You can't change the water, but you could even add water to your lulav. And during Chol HaMoed, you can even be machlif, obviously. So over there, it's considered to be Letzorech HaLulav, and that is something Letzorech HaMoed, and therefore you can even take care of it by changing the water, which will help the lulav do better. Katan hayodea l'na'aneya, chayav l'lulav. Once a katan knows how to do the na'anuim, so then he's chayav in terms of the chinuch. This was the machlokas we mentioned earlier. Do we see it as a chiyav on the katan or the chiyav on the father that we now refer to as if the katan is chayav? And at that point, you have to teach him how to utilize the lulav. Now, what exactly is the meaning of a yodeh l'naneah? Suppose somebody would just pick up the lulav and he wouldn't be menaneah? So wouldn't he be yotzei the mitzvah? So why can't we at least to be mechayev him even if he just knows how to hold a lulav for a moment, right? I mean, what do we mean by l'naneah? So the question over here is, does this mean that some element of Nianua is an actual mitzvah in the Diraisa? Some Rishonim conclude that that's true. But it's the amount of Nianua that we learned out, remember, from the Miluim. Molech Humevi Mala Umorid. So that we're Medayak, Asher Hunaf, Asher Huram. That is a basic chiyav in defining what you do with the lula. Others learn that the pshat over here is that the mitzvah of chinuch is only to be mechanech in the way that the child will need to be doing that mitzvah as an adult. And there's no mitzvah just to be mechanech the mitzvahs. In other words, we want you to be able to be mekayim the mitzvah. That's not the point of chinuch. The point of chinuch is we want you to get used to doing the mitzvah as you will do it. So if this katan cannot handle the lulav properly and remember how many times he's supposed to be made. Some learn even he doesn't know what places to do it in the hollow. So then that's not the way that he's going to be mekayim the mitzvah. And therefore, if there is no mitzvah of chinuch yet at all, to be mekayim mitzvah stam for, this is a tremendous chiddush that we learn out from here, if that's the case. So there's machlokas in how much is meant by a yodea specifically in this case. Fine. Now, the question over here also about the water that we talk about, there is a shaila whether it has to be the same water that was, or you can put it into water that was already there if it had been in water, even if it's not exactly the same water. And that doesn't look, I mean, the idea over here, Rashi says, is that it looks like you're being Isaac in tikkun mana. That would be the real issue over here. So if you're pouring in new water, you're doing a tircha for it, so then you're being tereach letikun. That's the point of the problem, lechara. Okay, once we're going to learn this, we're going to see that we have a lot of different dinim that we learn out about katan here in our Masechet. Anyway, says the Gemara, isn't this pshita? Why would she not be able to take the lulav? Because so I might have thought that since she isn't mechuyevet, maybe she shouldn't even take the lulav at all. Maybe, as Rashi says, that it's considered to be muksa for her because she's not mechuyevet in it at all. So here the question, as I said, if that's the point, so then, I mean, according to those shitas, Tosis brings Rabbeinu Tam. Also, that the Rabbeinu Tam holds that the mitzvah is still a mitzvah if she does it on her own. And so what would be the point? And remember that even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins not like that, the Ramah paskins that it is. And that's why the Ashkenazim, in fact, they do this. And the women make, this is like a big, big tension issue between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. So this Rav Avadi Yosef made a big fuss about this. So according to the Ramah, you can actually do it. So then how do you explain the Gemara? So the Rabbeinu Tam actually would learn the Gemara that that's the point. Not that it's considered to be not mukta because of the fact that a man can use it. So it's like it's not mukta for her either. It's not mukta because even for her, it's a mitzvah if she does it. And therefore it can't be considered to be mukta. And that's a different way of learning than Rashi. Next case. If he knows how to put on a talit, li'itatev, chayav b'tzitzit. Now this is also an issue. What do you mean? Why can't you be mechanechim with a talit katan? I mean, why does he have to know how to be mit'atev? Right? So there are those who learn that the mitzvah of ituv, as Rashi brings it, k'derech ha'yishmeilim, and you have to know how to wrap your head, that is the only case where you're actually mekayim the mitzvah positively, and therefore he needs to be able to do that. Some learn that means that he has to be able to be mechalek, how to put two of the tzitzit in front and two of the tzitzit in back, the way that we do it, and so on. But there is an inyan of the ikar mitzvah is to be mitatef with a talit. Lishmor tefillin, if he knows how to take proper care of his tefillin, so then his father buys him tefillin. And buys him tefillin, that's a question. What was lishmor tefillin? And Rashi says all he needs to know is not to walk into a bathroom with his tefillin. I mean, that's not a very high madriga of lishmor tefillin. The pashtus is that there's the normal din of shmiras tefillin means that he'll be careful not to fall asleep in them. He'll be careful to avoid flatulence when he's wearing tefillin. But it could be, there's a big question over here, Bechlal, as to why here it says his father buys him tefillin. And by the other cases, it says that he's chayev b'tzitzit. Over here it doesn't say he's chayev b'tefillin, right? It just says his father is lokeach lo tefillin. So most of the poskim focus on the difference between the lokeach lo tefillin, because of the other things he has clothing, so you could put, you can simply put tzitzit on it, but then why doesn't it say his father's chayav to purchase those tzitzit? So there's a lot of different opinions as to how to explain why lokeach lo tefillin, maybe because it's so expensive, there'd be no way that he would get them otherwise. But it could be that Rashi is talking about his father buys him tefillin not to wear yet. And therefore, what Rashi says is that he should know how to be careful not to bring those tefillin into the bathroom, so that he should get used to the fact that a person has tefillin and he starts thinking about the tefillin as a pre-chinuch issue. And therefore, Rashi doesn't say that he has to know how to wash his body from tefillin while he's wearing tefillin. He doesn't know that yet. And the minhag among the Teimanim is indeed little children. The father buys tefillin for them. And as soon as they're able to be shomer gufa mamish, they start wearing tefillin right away. Others have a minhag only to put on the tefillin at the time of the bar mitzvah mamash. The minhag among the Ashkenazim is a month, maybe 2 months, to practice putting on tefillin before. Okay, so there's a lot of different minhagim about what this means, lishmor tefillin aviv lokeach. If he knows how to talk, so there's two things that talking is mechayev you in. First of all, there's a chiyav to teach him Torah, and then there's a chiyav to teach him Kriyat Shema. What do you mean by Torah? Omer Rav Hamnuna, as soon as he knows how to talk, his father teaches him Torah, Tziva, Lanu, Moshe, Morasha, Kilad Yaakov, that gives him a connection to Torah. And when we say his father is Mechanech to say Kriyat Shema, what does that mean? It means the Pasuk Rishon. Now, obviously, these two things go together because of the fact that you could be Yotze, your Chiyuv of Talmud Torah, Vigita, Bar Yom HaVelayla, but Kriyat Shema. So that when the Rambam brings the halachas in terms of Aviv is Balandai, he puts these together in terms of the dinim of Limud Torah. Hayodea lishmor gufo. If this is a cotton that knows how to make sure that he doesn't come into contact with things that are tamei, so then you can rely on that cotton that if he touches something, that those things are not makabel tuma from his body, not with his fingers. That's different because there's a gzeir of stam yadai. It doesn't say that the cotton is so aware that he's able to be aware of keeping his hands clean, even though they're stam yadayim. That's already a high madriga of consciousness. But if something that comes into contact with his body, that is at an earlier stage. If he's already at the madriga lishmoret yadav, that after he was neitel as yadav, so he knows that he didn't scratch himself or touch something that was tamei, so then we could even eat tyres that he touched with his hands. Hayodeli Yishael, if he's able to respond to questions about whether he touched something in a way that would be makabel tuma and so on, then and we ask him, then the dinim that we learned out halacha l'mashmi Sinai from Seita, they kick in to effect. And because of that, Brishus Hayochid, if he says, I don't know, then the suffix is tameh. Brishus Harabim, then the suffix is tahar. If he wouldn't know how to respond to the question, then it would always be Sveik or Toha. Hayodea lefros kapav. If he knows how to do Birkat Kohanim, so then he will be Eila to the Birkat Kohanim, then Cholkin lo Truma beBeit HaKronot. Then we will give Truma to him even Barabim in the Beit HaKronot, which normally we avoid because not everybody knows that this person is mature enough to be able to be Shebet Truma Betaira. There's a Machlokis Rashi and Tesis here. Rashi learns this is not referring to a cotton, because a cotton is never nosias kapov. It's referring to a shear that goes beyond cotton. He's bar mitzvah already. And now the question is, can we allow him to be nosias kapov and then give him truma publicly? So that is big machlokes. Tosfos learns, no, this is a din in cotton, like all the other dinim are in Kitani. And when it says that he's not Eila, that's only if he doesn't know how to be Noise Eskap of Tosfos Tainis. Hayodea lishchot, ochlim mishchitato. If he knows how to shech, then you can eat his shchita. This means not that he knows there's actually a machlokas. What does he know about the Hilchas shchita? So Rashi learns Hayodea lishchot, he doesn't know anything about Hilchas shchita. He knows the way to be shochet. You know, he's been practicing, his father's a shochet, he's been practicing shchita. So then, as we'll see later, if somebody is omed al gabav to make sure that everything was done properly, so then you're allowed to eat from his shchita. Oh boy, they're killing me. Yeah. So then you can eat from his shchita also. Now that's mashma in Rashi, that if he would be a baki, so then, and he would even know the dinim, then there might be a difference in needing the oymen agaba, but that is not correct. And the question over here, this Tosfos speaks about the mashma, that if he wouldn't even know how to be ma'amin yada, then the godol oymen agaba wouldn't help, because there's too many delicate things that may go wrong. Okay, so this Tosfos is bedayik that way. Halacha lemaisa, we have some machlokas in halacha lemaisa about where you're allowed to eat the shchita of the katan exactly, but it's not precisely our sugya, so we'll go on. Om Rav Huna v'usha gadol omer al gabav. Suppose a katan is able to eat a kezayis daga. Once he's able to eat, okay, that's machlokas rishonim, whether it means once he's able to eat, or once he actually eats a kezayis daga. So if he eats a kezayis dagan, then his excrement is considered to be tsoa lahalacha, and therefore you have to be marchik arba amais and so on from tsoato. If he's not at a stage yet in which he can eat dagan, then we consider him not to have any kind of halachic level excrement. And therefore you do not have to be marchik mitsoato umimei raglav arba amais. Omer of Chista, when we say that he can eat a kezayis dagan, it means he has to be able to eat it with achilas pras. If not, it's just like, I mean, anybody can eat over the course of a week, you know, because there's no difference eating something over the course of a week or over the course of 25 minutes. If it's not with achilas pras, then it's not koveya the dinim of achila. Omer of Chia Breda of Yaiva, ubegadol, afa pisheni achol achol with achilas pras. But once he's already a gadol, then he is kaput. Doesn't matter whether he's able to eat at that point. He's ill, he's old. Once he's a gadol, he's screwed for life. Why? Dichtiv Yosef dat Yosef machov. Once you're already aware, so then your life is miserable. So this means that basically you're full of it. Yeah. Yochol lechol kezayit tzli. Once you can eat a kezayit of tzli, which is more difficult to eat than cholent, kezayit tzli, you got to be able to eat, you know, a barbecued steak. You want to be able to eat your korban pesach. So then he can be mitztarev to the chabura of shirkin lovas pesach. Shenehemar ish lefi achlo. Rav Yehuda Amar, more than that. In order to be able to be mitztarev to the pesach, he has to be mevar achila. He has to be able to choose what it is that is edible for him and what it is that isn't edible, not just that he puts things into his mouth and chews. Ketzad, notnim lo tsror, vizorko, egos vinotlo, it's the old Moshe Rabbeinu trick. So you give him a rock, he throws it away, but you give him a nut, he knows that ain't no rock, and then he starts to eat. Hadrinalach, lulav hagazul,
bli neder, funtim nehelek perek.
Now we have a beautiful Mishnah that puts together all of the amazing chiyuvim that we have on Sukkot, which is molei mitzvahs and zman simchasenu, full of the simcha shel mitzvah. And it gives us a rundown of all of the different mitzvahs and how many days they could apply over the course of the entire yontif. So, lulav v'arava. We have two mitzvahs that are related, and strangely, they are also differentiated one against the other, as we're going to see through the sugya. One is the mitzvah of lulav in the Beis HaMikdash, which is a mitzvah of 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash. The other is not to be neitel the mitzvah, but to actually walk around with aravot and surround the mizbeach with aravot. Gemara is going to discuss this and where that came from. And that too is a mitzvah similar to the mitzvah lulav. By the way, we're going to see in the Mishnah that this mitzvah of being neitel lulav in the Beis HaMikdash is not the same mitzvah as being neitel the lulav stam in the gvulin, because people were makbid if they were able to get to the Beit HaMikdash, even on the first day, then they would go bedafka to the Beit HaMikdash to be neitel the lulav, because over there you're also being mekayim mitzmachtem lifnei Hashem lokechem shivat yamim. So it's not the same thing as, okay, what's nafmina? I'm being mekayim the mitzvah lulav over here in my shul. No, this is a different, lifnei Hashem lokechem is a different mitzvah. Okay, so 6 days or 7 days. What would be koveya, 6 days or 7 days? When Shabbat falls out. If Shabbat falls out on the first day, so then as we'll see, we used to carry the lulav even on Shabbat. We were neitel the lulav on Shabbat. If Shabbat came out on some of the other days, we weren't neitel the lulav. Why? Again, the Gemara will discuss. Arava is exactly the opposite. If the Shabbat came out on the last day of Sukkot, then you would be neitel the Arava around the Mizbeach. But if Shabbat came out on any other day, including the first day, then you would not do the Arava, which means that wherever you have the mitzvah of lulav on Shabbat, you don't have the mitzvah of arava. When you do have the mitzvah of arava on Shabbat, then you don't do the mitzvah of lulav. So they're actually, in a sense, juxtaposed. So you can have either 6 days or 7 days, depending on whether Shabbat came out on the first day or on a different day, or on the last day on a different day. But they're never both Shiva. So that means between the two of them, and that's why we put them together. One of them will be 6 days, and one of them will be 7 days, and it depends how the year's Shabbat came out. Ha-Halel va-Simcha. As far as saying your Halel, and Sukkot is the only time, other than Chanukah and the Rabbanan, Sukkot is the only time where we say Halel all of the 8 days, and the mitzvah of Simcha, which is to eat your Shlamim in the Beis HaMikdash, is also all 8 days. That can be done on Shabbat as well. Sitting in your sukkah and doing the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim in the morning together with the Nisach HaYayim, that's all 7 days, always. The Chalil is the musical instruments that are going to be played during the Simchas Pesach Shoeva, and we were gozer not to play music on Shabbat and on Yom Tov. And therefore, since there's only 7 days available for Simchas Pesach Shoeva, and Shabbat is definitely going to be one of those days, but it may not be together with Yom Tov. So there may be one day of Yom Tov when you don't play music and one day of Shabbos which you don't play music. In which case, it's either 5 days or 6 days. The Lulav Shiva Ketzan. When we said you can have Lulav for 7 days, where would that be referring to? Well, that is in the case we have Yom Tov Rishon. So you have the first day of Yom Tov that it came out on Shabbos. So then we're talking about in the Beis HaMikdash, we would take the Lulav for 7 days, even though it's Shabbos, and we would be in the Kayim, the Mitzvah on Shabbos, and we'll see why it is we used to do it on Shabbos. If Shabbos came out on any other day, then it would be 6 days. Arava is Shiva Ketzah. If the seventh day of Sukkot, which is the Yom Arava, if that which we call, that's the Hoshana Rabbah that we do, which is Keneged, that special day of Arava. So over there, if it came out on Shabbos, then the Arava would be the full 7 days because we do it even on Shabbos. But if Shabbos comes out on any other day, Shar Kol HaYomim, then Shabbos would be Docha the Arava. What did you do in the Beis HaMikdash to be Mekayim your mitzvahs lulav when you have to get your lulav to the Beis HaMikdash and in Shabbos? How would you do that? So Yom Tov HaRishon Shalchak Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat, everyone would bring their lulavim to the Har HaBayit on Erev Shabbos. The chazanim would be mekablimim. Remember, the chazanim in those days were not people who sang. They were people who were chozim. They would see everything, and based on what they would see, they would take care of whatever needs came up. And we don't want mobs fighting with each other about where to put the lulavim. They would put the lulavim carefully on the sodenotam agabeya itztaba. There were these benches that went all around the Har HaBayit, and they were covered with a roof, and they were protected, the lulavim, from any sun. The roof was essentially there for rain. And then the older people did not give their lulavim over to these chazanim. The older people had a special lishka, because if the older people would have had to come in the morning, they would have gotten killed. They would have gotten crushed. I mean, can you imagine 100,000 people coming in, fighting with each other? That's my lulav. No, it isn't, you jerk. Give me that lulav, and so on and so forth. Oh, my God. So you've got this old geezer coming in over there, being crushed by the people that are fighting. And because of that, they gave special places for older people where they would know exactly where their lulav was. Nobody else could come in there, and they wouldn't get killed. And then the Beis Din teaches everybody to say, to make a tonight, if somebody takes my lulav by accident, I'm giving it to him as a matana. So kol mi shemagia lulavi liyado arei lo b'matana. That way, even if you ended up taking a long lulav by accident, you would still be able to be yotze. Anyway, the next day, everybody comes, and they don't go, the chazanim take their lulavim, and they put their lulavim down on the ground. Okay, go ahead, go find your lulavim. Everybody would start beating up everybody else. That was part of the grand fun on circus, in which you start beating up everyone. Anyway, that was not a very good idea. וכשראו בית דין שבור לידי סכנה, things got out of hand, they canceled this whole thing, and they made a takana, nobody is coming to the Beis HaMikdash with the lulav. And everybody's got to be yotze with your lulav in your own house, and not carry around your lulav. Okay, this was the start of don't carry your lulav, but we'll see in the Gemara how this develops over the course of time, and what the din is bizman hazeh, what the din was then during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when you weren't in the Beis HaMikdash, all of this we'll discuss. Bezrat Hashem tomorrow.